Radio.
We start our third and final hour. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. We are live at Torrey Pines, the site of the Farmers Insurance Open. I'm having an amazing day. Man, it could not be nicer. It is an absolutely beautiful day. Track looks amazing. Just had the course manager come by, right? Mike. Mike was responsible for the tweet where he referenced the star linebacker. No star linebackers here. The Canadian star linebacker, the former high school star linebacker. I'm like, my man, that is deep. That is so cool. He goes, not only that, Rome, I'm a gaucho. I'm like, dude, you're like the best guy I've ever met. So, like, you manage this course, you run the Twitter feed, and you're a gaucho. He said, better yet, I married another gaucho. I'm like, dude, this is the best guy ever. Mike, nice job. Good looking out. All right, so we start hour number three. We are open for the first time. So if you've been listening and you want to get through, go ahead and do it now. In case you missed it, we had Tony Finau back in hour number one. We had Charlie Hoffman, the man. Pat Perez came in for hour number two. Rex Hoggard, who is Rex 7. Interestingly enough, I've had him on so many times, but we'd never met in person. Rex 7 came by. Coming up in the last segment of the program, the last segment of this hour, Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith. For my money, nobody's ever done better than Mike. You want to do that right now? Okay. So I'm looking for Mike. Mike's not far away, so we'll get him at some point this hour. Could be sooner than later. He was scheduled to join us at 40 past, but we'll see if it happens before then. My man wrote Justify, who won a Triple Crown, and we will talk to him. Meantime, Craig Kitchen, if Mike wants to do that now and has things to do, we can do it now. Hey, Mike, come on in. In fact, that's not happening at the end of the hour. It's happening right now. My man, Mike Smith, joining me. Legendary jockey. Mike, it is so good to see you. How are things, bud?
Thanks for having me on.
It's always good to have you on. So before we talk horse racing, Mike, I know you've got a pretty good stick. Have you played this course, and how does it treat you?
It's been a while. I haven't got to play for a while. I kind of had a little bit of a shoulder injury about a year and a half ago, and I just kind of stayed away from the golf now. I'm feeling great as far as my shoulder goes, but I don't know, I want to be swinging it and mess my main game up, and that's right.
You know, have you not played golf in a year and a half?
Yeah, about that long.
Do you miss it?
Yeah, I mean, I miss it, but I like my shoulder feeling good more than anything.
You know, something about golf. Every great athlete I know, not everyone, but most of them love golf because it's the great equalizer, right? They can so dominate and master their technique and their craft, but you never get there with golf. As somebody who's dominated a sport for as long as you have, what do you like about that sport? What's it do for you when you play?
Golf?
Yes.
It gets me angry most of the time. It's supposed to be relaxing, but all my friends seem to be a little bit better than me, and they wind up taking what my wages away that I've made over the week. So it's kind of done me some good to stay away for a little bit.
Sounds like the worst sport ever, Mike. You're a pretty prideful guy, and you're going to be very responsible with your money. I'm not sure what you get out of that game now.
You know, it's nice to get out and just get out with friends and just hang out and talk life.
It's good. Mike Smith joining us. He's a Hall of Famer, the leading jockey in Breeders' Cup history. I know that from experience. He won us a couple of those trophies. Mike, go way back. What was it like growing up in Roswell, New Mexico? And as a kid, did you ever dream that you would go on to become a world-class athlete and one of the best to ever do it?
You know, it was great growing up around there, first of all, because I was surrounded with horses. So, I got to, practice my craft quite a bit. But it was more quarter horses. Jim, with the differences, one's kind of a dragster compared to, a NASCAR or whatever. But at least I got a chance to get on a whole lot of horses, and it really, really got me going, where I learned my horsemanship anyway before I went on to the bigger leagues, and then really got into some great horses, as you well know. I've been so blessed to have done so well these last few years. But coming from New Mexico was always a good time. It's good to go back.
Every time you come on, the folks from back there always want to tweet, they want to email, and they talk about how proud they are of you and how you've represented them so well. You mentioned the fact that you've been on some great horses, Mike. The fact is, you were on the back of another legendary horse in Justify. What was it like to win the Triple Crown this far into your career at age 52?
I'm so glad first of all, I'm glad that I even got to win a Triple Crown. But I think winning it at this age even means more, because you just appreciate everything more as you get older. And now at the back end of my career, what a way to kind of, not that I'm planning on anything anytime soon, long as I stay healthy, I'd like to go another three or four or five years. But I know that if I wanted my 20s or my 30s, I wasn't going to appreciate it like I do now. It's been life-changing, to be honest with you.
You know, Mike Smith, my guest, Tom Brady's talked about playing four or five more years. He's 41. He's still at the top of his game. You're 52. You're still at the top of your game. How do you approach it? How have you managed to stay that sharp, that competitive, that long? And what is your approach? What is your process?
Well, if I did anything right early on in my career, it was take up physical fitness, you know, which, believe it or not, in almost every sport, you know, it's a big thing. But as a rider, it wasn't. A lot of riders thought that they'd get too heavy, you know, if they went into the gym and they worked out, which was they're just really misled. You know, they never really had hired the right kind of people, you know, to teach you how to work out, not necessarily bulk up, you know, but to get, you know, stamina and different kind of training. I've hired good trainers at a young age, and it became a way of life for me. It's not just a hobby. It's something I have to do at least 5 days a week. So if I did anything right, that was taking that up, because now in my later years, man, I can still take the young guys into the gym and still hang with them.
What's that like when you bring the young guys in?
I love it. I still love it. I really do. I feel that I'm every bit as fit now, Jim, if not even fitter than I was when I was in my 30s.
Mike Smith joining us. Let me ask you this. You're in that kind of shape, and the end is nowhere in sight as far as I'm concerned, but every great athlete ultimately will come to grips with this. Something inevitably goes. What do you think goes first in your case? Will it be the will to prepare and put in the work, or your skills? What's going to go first?
Wow. They always say legs. They always say for riders, legs. But I'm in pretty good shape. I think when I'm not enjoying it as much as I am right now, that's when it'll be time to hang up. Blessed to have done very well and to be smart about my money and put things away. So that part I'm okay with. You know, right now I'm having just as much, if not more, fun riding. So as long as that stays, I'll continue to ride. And once that starts to slip and I'm dreading going into the jockstroom instead of can't wait to get there, then it'd be time to hang it up.
We're talking to jockey Mike Smith. Something else about that. Mike, there's so many things about your sport that are so different than any other sport. But even like going into the jockey's room, I mean, you don't have other professional teams that are going out there to beat the hell out of each other, dressing together and hanging out together. But then you go into a jockey's room where you guys are constantly battling and competing and you're all in the same space. What's that like? Who runs that room?
It can get a little heated every now and then, but you know, all in all, you spend so much time together. You know, you really, you're family. But you know, once you put them silks on and walk out the jockstroom door, of course, you're battling against each other. But you know, you learn to get along. It teaches you to get along, because you can get pretty upset with somebody, and you got to learn how to handle it when you get back into the room. They fine you nowadays too much money if you get into a little little fight, and they'll actually suspend you. So you have to learn to control yourself and be able to forgive and forget.
You know, it's the worst analogy ever, Mike, but like, you don't want to drive angry, right? You don't want to hit the road and be emotional. So if something's going down and you've got other guys, we're talking about animals that are more than 1,000 pounds, running at a high rate, it's extremely dangerous. The last thing you want is somebody out there who's not right of mind or who's in a bad way or a bad place. Does that concern you? What happens then?
Well, I mean, if you have a beef with somebody, it certainly can be concerning. But all in all, to be honest with you, even though we walk back into the same locker room, we all handle it pretty well, man. And every now and then you'll have something. But by the end of the day, you've pretty much made up and everything's, you know, back to normal.
And there's a fundamental level of respect, because you're all out there and you know what's at stake. You know, you've been asked so many times, because you've ridden so many amazing horses, who's your favorite? And you've always been very careful not to say that or who the best is. But Justify might be different than all of the rest. Is that the best horse you've ever been on?
He's certainly by far the best three-year-old I've ever been on. You know, I like to categorize them. I mean, because they're all different. But I've never seen, and I don't think we'll ever see a horse do what he did in 112 days. You know, this horse, you know, was training just 112 days and won the Triple Crown. I mean, that's just incredible. You know, the job that Bob Baffert and his crew did to get this horse through the Triple Crown was, in its own right, would probably put him in the Hall of Fame if that's the only three races he ever won.
So is he the horse of the year, or does Accelerate have something to say about that?
Although Accelerate had a great year, how can you deny a Triple Crown winner, undefeated Triple Crown winner. It'd be almost impossible what he was able to pull off. You know, you got to remember that Triple Crown races aren't races you can, you know, you have to run in those races. You know, once you become an older horse, you can point for a race and kind of train up to one. I mean, it is just what it is. You have to just run in these three races. And, you know, even if you come out with little body sore or this and that, I mean, they got to figure out how to get this horse right back in 2 weeks and then 3 weeks going into the Belmont, which is almost impossible.
It's insane. It's incredible, really.
It really is. So again, you know, the job that Bob did to get this horse through the whole thing is just out of this world.
What do you think would have happened? Yeah, maybe it's not the best question to ask, because how do you not give a Triple Crown winner the Eclipse Award? But had they met in the Breeders' Cup Classic, what do you think would have happened?
Justified by five.
By five. By five.
Yeah, you know, I don't, honestly, Jim, I don't think we saw the best of this horse. You know, he came out of the Triple Crown with a little wear and tear on him, and he was going to need, you know, a good 60 days to recover from it, and that wouldn't have given him enough time to run into the Classic. But if he'd have come out in good order, you know, where they could have, I can't see anybody beating him in the Classic.
Mike Smith joining me for a few more moments. You know, Mike, you've got one of the great nicknames in the sport, or in any sport, Big Money Mike, because you always come through when the stakes are highest. You know, I ask this of every great athlete, and I know you'll say to me, I've been really blessed to ride some amazing horses, and you have, but the fact is, you're at your best on the biggest stage. You've proven this time and time again. Can you consciously dial it up for the big races? Is there something you do?
You know, yeah, you can, and I do, to be honest with you, Jim. There's something about, man, that pressure that I'm addicted to it. You know, it really makes me raise my game to a whole other level. It makes me focus. It for some reason, it slows things down for me. You know, I can see the race just slows down for me, believe it or not, even though you're going a little over 40 miles per hour, you know, with inches within each other. For me, it just seems the picture just gets bigger. It gets, you know, as long as I can get my horse into a happy place, a good, happy rhythm, then I just map out the trip from there, and man, I can't wait for a big race.
You know, Mike, you've won so many big races for us. We've had some amazing times and amazing memories. You rode Misdirection to two Breeders' Cup wins, and of course you were on the back of Shared Belief, who tragically died at the age of four after losing that battle with colic. You and I have talked about the champ in the past. For those who don't know, what was Shared Belief like as a horse? And I'm not looking for you to say that he was the best, but was he in the conversation with the best that you've ridden?
Oh, without a doubt. And again, we didn't get to see the best of him. I mean, he was just really starting to come into himself, but he was an extremely athletic horse. You know, you've seen so many pictures of him, you know, up high in the air jumping because he loved to play and kick and buck all the time. I mean, he was just full of energy. For a horse lacking maybe a little bit of size, I mean, he had that much more heart and more. He was a fighter. And you ever got him into a head-and-head battle down the lane, well, I don't think there was ever a time that he did get beat. You know, I mean, he always came first whenever you were in a head-to-head battle. He wasn't going to let nobody beat him.
Only once. You know, we had the unfortunate thing in West Virginia, but only once. And to your point, that wasn't his fault coming out of the gate in the Classic.
No, that he didn't even get to run. I felt something right away in that. But the only time was the misfortune, of course, was the Breeders' Cup, but where he didn't get his chance to really show who he was. You know, he still finished fourth after getting, you know, just eliminated several times in the race. And still only, you know, getting beat a couple of
lengths.
Three
and a half lengths, maybe. And even in the very end, I thought he's still going to run them down. Like, I think even in defeat, that might have been one of his finest moments ever, the way he did not spit the bit. He didn't give in. He just kept battling.
Without a doubt. I mean, there's no telling how many lengths he lost getting, you know, just eliminated from the start, halfway down the stretch the first time, and then down the backside as well. I mean, he just never got a break and still ran as well as he ran. Pretty incredible race.
Couple of thoughts, Mike, really quickly. What about the race here? Since we're in San Diego, one of his greatest moments, I thought, and one of our greatest memories, was when you won the Pacific Classic at Del Mar. This is an amazing race, arguably the most important race on the West Coast. He did it as a younger horse. He did it as a three-year-old. I know you've ridden thousands of winners, but what do you remember about that day and that race? Do you?
Yeah, he was just driving your favorite sports car, man. I mean, he was on the bridle the whole time. Everywhere I pointed, I mean, he was just eager to go. He had such a good trip that day, and I remember, you know, heading for home and just kind of easing him out, and the race was pretty much over. He just took off. We beat, I believe it was Toasted New York. Was it Toasted New York?
Toasted New York. He held off. Game on Dude, too.
Game on Dude was in there. who I wind up riding later on and having a whole lot of success. So to beat a horse like Game On Dude.
No,
which,
Mike, you had the choice between that day, didn't you? You had the choice of mounts between Game On Dude, who had won that race and was an incredible horse, and Share Belief. And I remember thinking, Mike's getting off that horse. Come on, our horse. This is great.
Yeah, I did take off of him, and I'd won several grade ones on
Game
On Dude, and he was a tough horse, but like I said, Share Belief at the time, he was the best older horse, three-year-old and up, actually, at the time, than anything we had in the United States, anyway.
He was world-ranked number one. Listen, last thought, you're going to be a part of the Dubai World Cup again. I've never been there. What's that like? What's it like to take that trip, and what's racing like in Dubai?
Well, racing's incredible in Dubai. I mean, it's a fun trip to go to. It's always a lot of fun. So we're hoping that we get there. I'm not 100% sure yet or not if Bob is going to decide to run McKenzie there or not. It's still kind of up in the air. But, I hope we get a chance to get back there. It's just incredible. You know, when you're running against, I believe the race is worth $15 million, I believe it is right now. When I won it, it was 10 at the time with a horse called Arrogate. But now it's up to 15.
Wow.
So, man, I would absolutely love to take a shot at it anyway.
That's a lot of cash. Then you got the Pegasus. Pegasus is something interesting. For those who don't know what that is, what's that race all about?
Well, we just are, you know, it's a young race, you know, and it's worth a lot of money. This year there's two of them. You have the dirt race, and you have a big grass race as well. So the dirt race is $9 million, and the grass race, I believe, is $7 million. Might be six, but it's 7 million, which I'm going to miss both of those, which I'm a little hurt about that. I was kind of hoping to get there as well. But, you know, it's a great new race that we have. It's going to take a little bit of time to get the build up for it. But it's starting to come. You know, they're doing a lot of great stuff, a lot of great entertainers that come in for the race and entertain before. I think we got Snoop Dogg this year that's going to come over there and have a little concert, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun. But I think in the next several years, you're going to see that day with those two races really grow.
So finally, Mike, those who know, it's a beautiful sport. It's an amazing sport. It's not a perfect sport. It's like anything else. It's got some issues. But if you and I are trying to grow this sport and recruit new people to the sport, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, that's a big question, man. That's a question that everyone asks.
Right.
You know, it's just, you know, doing what we're doing now, to be honest with you, Jim, just talk about it more. If you can get people out there just one time, nine times out of ten, they're gonna become a fan and they're going to enjoy it. It's truly the greatest 2 minutes of sports in the world.
Mike Smith, my guest. He's a Hall of Famer, a leading jockey, talking about all things horse racing. Mike, you know, I appreciate you. Any chance that you and I can get together, I'll take you up on that. And I still need to do dinner with you. I owe you that. We've been talking about that for years. You always come on the show. You won me a couple of Breeders' Cups. You rode the number one ranked horse in the world for us. We need to eat. We need to break bread.
I would absolutely love that. Hopefully, maybe this summer we'll get a chance to.
Sounds good, Mike. Really good to see you. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Smith, one of the best ever. A truly dominant athlete in his field. And we're always going to be grateful for the rides he's given us. All right, we'll come right back. We are wide open the rest of the day. We are live at Torrey Pines. We are here for the Farmers Insurance Open in San Diego. If there's anything you want to talk about, you want to call me right now. It's toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. More from Torrey Pines when we come back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Came to Torrey Pines and a Super Bowl show broke out. Back to back to back to back. All right, so we are done with the interviews now, so I've got plenty of time for you to call. Hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. I'm back at my old stomping grounds. I think a lot of you know that I went to college at UC Santa Barbara, got my radio break in Santa Barbara, but my very first big, big break was here in San Diego, so it's great to be home and broadcasting from San Diego. Also, our affiliate here in San Diego, 97.3 The Fan, FM, sounds great. So it's good to represent. Good to be back in this town. Football is about to get even more fun this postseason with Skittles, Snickers, and M&M brands, official sponsors of Super Bowl 53. You want to pump up the party with some sweet surprises and post-touchdown treats. Let me check out social, see what's going on. Go into Twitter at Kirby in the 402 tweets. Hey, Rome, great interviews with C. Hoff and Pat. They are clones. That's awesome. I nominate both for honorary membership in the JTP. Pat would love that, except Pat, as wild as Pat is, he's not on Twitter. Pat's got really good Instagram game, but he's not about that Twitter life, so he wouldn't even know what the JTP is, but I'm sure he'd appreciate the invite. This guy writes, War Golf on the show. Love it. This one says, eating up the show today, Rome. Love branching out and talking golf today on the show. Keep up the great work. D-Rod in the 925 tweets, Mike Smith is hands down a top five guest that you have on, Jimmy. Dude is a straight class act. This guy tweets, your first three interviews have set my fantasy golf lineup for the week. Tom in the 012, War Jungle Karma. Raider Phil in Utah tweets, Rome, I never gave a crap about horse racing until today. Needless to say, that's changed after hearing the interview with Big Money Mike. Racing has a brand new fan. Thanks. That's an amazing tweet. And that's exactly what he just said. Because the conversation in and around horse racing is always, it always starts at the same thing. How do we get new fans? How do we make the sport younger and cooler? And when I put the question to Mike, he said exactly what that guy just responded to. It's doing things like this. It's talking about the sport. It's talking about how great it is. Let me really, really quickly tell you a story about why I'm so connected to him and to the sport. We owned a filly named Misdirection in a partnership with a number of other people. So we were the majority owners, Janet and I, of this horse, but we had partners. And she made it to the Breeders' Cup. And understand this about the Breeders' Cup. I think when a lot of you think of horse racing, you think of the Kentucky Derby, understandably, or maybe the other Triple Crown races, the Preakness and the Belmont Stakes. But arguably the single biggest day or weekend in horse racing in this country is actually the Breeders' Cup, because you've got a bunch of championship races, world championship races, and they're all worth seven figures. There's actually a lot more money on that day that goes into the sport in the way of prize money than on those other days, like the Breeders' Cup or the Preakness and the Kentucky Derby. So these are huge, huge races. We had this filly, Misdirection, and she was entered in the Breeders' Cup sprint, running against male horses. It's a little bit unusual, not so much overseas, but here in the States, generally the fillies do not run against colts or geldings. They usually do not run, you know, for lack of a better term, female horses against male horses. You see it sometimes. For some of the fillies that are really, really good, they'll do that. So we took our shot. Misdirection is in this race. Mike Smith is riding her in this race. She was off 6 months. She went off 20-1. The oddsmakers did not like her at all. The sharps, the wise guys, the smart money bet her down to 6-1. And so she's running for the first time in 6 months. It was the longest layoff that a Breeders' Cup champion ever had. And she's running down the hill at Santa Anita, and she falls behind by 10 lengths. And knowing her running style and knowing her talent and her class, she had never been that far behind in a race. And I remember watching the race. We were all suited up. It was the biggest day of our lives. And I remember thinking in the middle of the race, we bit off more than we could chew. She's not in that class of horse. She can't run against the boys. This is embarrassing for her, for us. I feel badly for her. This is not a good thing. And I remember I turned to my bloodstock manager, Alex Solis, who found the horse. He bought the horse for the group. And I said, Alex, man, she's backing up. And I'll never forget, Alex Solis said to me, no, she's not, Jim. Here she comes. Look at her. She's coming. And if you watch a replay of the race, and you can find it on YouTube or online, she comes from way back and was flying and won the race. And I remember my brain just went blank when she won the race. You have to understand, she had never been in a grade one. That's the highest grade for racing here. She had never won a grade two. She had never run against the boys. I mean, it was the biggest ask ever. And Mike Smith has got her running way back and finds a way to come and rip the race and steal the race. And she won a Breeders' Cup race. I'm telling you, it took me months to even process what had happened. I was numb. Like, I couldn't believe it that she won a Breeders' Cup championship and won it the way she did. So when you hear me talk about horse racing with that kind of passion, it literally, in all my years of being in this business, of being a talk show host for 30 years, I can always say, honestly say, for all the events I've been to, all the things I've covered, and maybe it's really personal to me because we own the horse and I love the horse so much, it was the most surreal moment of my entire life in this business when she won that race. Man, if I could bottle that, or if I could put that into a syringe and shoot it into your veins, you'd understand. So I've done my best to try and explain that over the years. It was the single most surreal moment of my entire career. One of the most surreal moments of my entire life. And Mike Smith, as you might imagine, I'm kind of connected to Mike because Mike was the guy on the back of Misdirection when he won that race. And then he came back a year later and he won it again. So she's a two-time Breeders' Cup champ. Yeah, so if you open your mind to it, it's amazing. And Mr. CLE tweets, Googled Mike Smith jockey. The first thing that pops up is a picture of Mike freaking shirtless. If you don't think jockeys are athletes, this dude will steal your lady and ride off with her into the sunset. You got to understand, man, my man is shredded. You have no idea of this guy's commitment to fitness and the lifestyle. This guy, he is shredded. He's in unbelievable shape. He's got incredible discipline. You do it. Check it out. And you'll see what that guy's talking about, too. All right, so we've got one last segment. If you want to jump on Twitter, do it. If you want to jump on the phones, go ahead and do that. We've done all the interviews. Things I still want to get to, if possible. The Patriots, all the money right now is going to the Patriots. We could talk Hall of Fame, too. The Baseball Hall of Fame class of 2019 was announced, and it'd be very hard to find fault with any of the four that went in. But as is always the case, it's not about the guys going in. It's about the guys who did not get in. And I'm going to try and work that in, too, before the end of the program. We are live. We are at Torrey Pines. We are here for the Farmers Insurance Open. The show has literally done itself. It's flown right on by. One last segment when we return. Here is... There you go. Last segment. We are live at Torrey Pines. It's been a great, great day. So happy we did this. Want to thank everybody here for making it happen. My man, Bill Engineering, old school Bill Eisenhammer. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up right now. Open phones for the last segment. Also, Wednesday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I want to get into the Hall of Fame, the guys who got in, the guys who did not get in. But before I do that, let's get a phone call or two in here. Last time I was in this area, I was at a Buffalo Wild Wings. Last time I went into the Buffalo Wild Wings in this area, this guy took over the entire restaurant. Fabian. We go to the phones. Fabian.
Oh, man.
What's going on? What's up?
I'm going to go ahead and save that Happy New Year stuff, dude. I had a couple of things, right? Dude, I'll try to be quick, right? I kind of wanted to, like, let the clones, I mean, just for the ones, I don't know exactly how the hell I showed up, right? I wanted to tell them the story how that happened. But I'll skip and I'll go to what I told your screener. Dude. When the Rams left, okay, I used to be a Rams fan. That was back when I used to listen to you back then, you know, when they were here, whatever. When they left, I'm like, shh, good riddance, you know, whatever, get on, you know, whatever. Right. So that was that. And I told you about that, by the way. So now they come back, right? And, you know, getting into it, whatever, you know. Now I'm kind of like into it, right? Now it happens that, you know, I feel like we were given that because that stupid-ass PI, because that interference and stuff, you know. And it's like, I don't know, I just kind of like, you know, want to let it be known that it sucks, dude. I'm going to get out, I'm going to warn Mr. Pup, and I'm out, and I'll call you tomorrow or the next day or something, dude.
Thanks for the warning, Fabian. I'm not really sure what the point of that call was, but then I normally feel that way. Neep! When Fabian calls. I think what he was saying, hey, I think what he was trying to say was, we got jammed, the team got ripped from us, it moved to St. Louis, and this is just karma. That it's all come around, that New Orleans got jammed on that PI call because Ram fans were jammed so long ago, and now it's all come around, and it's karma. You know what? It might be that, Fabian. Or it might just be garbage officiating. It might be karma, and it might be the cosmic universe, or it might just be that a referee was in position to make the call, saw the play, and still did not throw the flag. You know what it might be? It might be officiating incompetence. Thing is... It's Wednesday, and I was kind of proud that I got through the entire day without mentioning how bad the officiating was over the weekend. Of course, I had to come to a golf course and do a remote to get away from talking about the officiating. Otherwise, I might not have been able to. But yeah, no, I don't think that's karma. I don't think that the Rams were owed anything, and that's why they got that call. They got that call because the referees butchered that call. They got that call because it was the worst no call ever. And even now, midweek, looking at the video of that, it's hard to imagine that they didn't get that one right. As I said yesterday, I'll say it one more time for today, and then I'll give it a rest. That call itself is not the reason that the Saints lost that game. But they would have won that game if the referee had thrown that flag. Yesterday, Salty Sarah tried to tweet in or email in and say, how do you know, Rome? How do you know what would have happened? How do you know that Drew Brees wouldn't have thrown an interception? Well, I know. I know. The reason I know is he wouldn't have thrown a pass down there. If they make the call the way they should have made the call, it would have been first down. The Rams were down to their last timeout. New Orleans would have taken a knee multiple times, run down the clock, kicked the field goal, got the hell out of there, and have been getting ready for the Patriots in the Super Bowl in Atlanta. So they were straight up jammed. However, it's not why they lost. They had plenty of opportunities early to choke the Rams out, and they didn't do it. And at some point, you got to give the Rams the credit, too. They fall behind on the road, and they look like they're dead in the water. Then they fake a punt deep in their own end, and they find a way out of it. So tip your hat to the Rams while you're at it. It's a tough team now. Tough team. But no, they didn't get the call because of karma. They got the call because of bad officiating.
Okay.
Neep! 1-800-636-8686. Who do you like? Early on, everybody who's throwing down for that likes the Pats. That's why that line's already moved to 3. When it started off by the Rams being favored by a point. A lot of movement already. But still, plenty of time. 10 days to go. Plenty of time between now and the game itself. And I will be in Atlanta all next week, broadcasting on Radio Row. The guest list is amazing. It's already set up. It's almost full already for the week. It's going to be a great, great week. Man, I'm in a good mood. I'm in San Diego. It's not a cloud in the sky. I'm at one of the most picturesque golf courses in the world. Great remote. I mean, what could go wrong? Back to the phones. Parody Larry. Hey, Lawrence, what's up?
Hey, Rome, thanks for the vine. Big shout-out to Hawk on the hatching of his new baby pigeon. And Adam, you are the father. As far as the NFL, Rome, Kansas City's dream got crushed again, and the Saints got robbed by 5 blind refs. Not one threw a flag. Vinovich is the biggest bag. The fans want to bury them in a hole. It should have been Saints ball with first and goal. Instead, the Rams go to the Super Bowl because of 5 blind refs.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Parody Larry just did a parody of 5 blind refs. How'd you ever come up with that, Lawrence? How long did it take you to come up with that, Lawrence? How long did it take you to write the lyrics to 5 blind refs? Like I said, what could go wrong today? I've got a perfect day working. That's what I get. It's like talking about a no-hitter. It's like talking about a perfect game in the middle of a perfect game. I'm spinning this perfect game. Nobody can catch up to what I'm throwing. I am having the best day of my life. And then what happens? Somebody jinxed it. Parody Larry calls, and I take the phone call. Like, how the hell did that happen? That was a bad choice. Yo, man, what's up? It's a bad choice. Really bad idea by me. I'll own that. My show, my decision. We had Mike Smith on. One more thought about Mike Smith. When he got up to walk away, Mike Smith was smiling. He generally is, but he was smiling, and he said, hey, Jim, I got off the phone with Bob Baffert. Mike rides for Bob. Mike has won a lot of huge races for Bob. Bob has put Mike on the backs of some really good horses. Mike said that Baffert said to him, he said, Bob, I'm going to do the Jim Rome show. He goes, great, good. He goes, why don't you ask him if he's still chapped about the Breeders' Cup Classic? Ask him if he's still pissed about that. And Baffert thinks it's like the funniest thing ever. Like, he's like, you know, I train for him now. I can say whatever I want. Yeah, I mean, that's true. First of all, Bob always says whatever he wants, and it is true. I am partnered in a horse that Bob Baffert trains, and it's a really good horse that won his 2 races. Jamie Roth and her family brought me into that one. But it's the damnedest thing, because for so long, and I'm going to answer the question. When Baffert says to Mike, go ask Rome if he's still pissed, the answer is yes. You know, some things are like really not funny. And then if you wait long enough, the pendulum swings back and it is funny. And you can laugh at certain things. Like it's not funny at the time, but now it's really funny. I'll give you an example. When the quarterback came over the table, not so funny when it happened, but really funny right now. Then it's like 25 years later. Can I tell you something? 25 years from now, our horse getting wiped out, coming out of the gate, and not winning a race worth a lot of money and probably punching his ticket to the Hall of Fame still is not going to be funny. But my man Bob, man, it is so rich. It's priceless. It's the funniest thing ever to him. Of course, it was his horse that wiped us out. Anyway, that's like an ongoing thing. He thinks that is the funniest thing Baffert does. Hey, go ask Rome again if he's still pissed. Yes, Bob, I'm still pissed. I got beyond it. You and I are doing business again, but yes, I am still pissed. I will always be pissed. Because it was our horse that got hammered coming out of the gate by your horse. Oh, and what do you know? His horse won. Cleared us out. Cleared out half the field. And at the time, I didn't say anything. I usually don't. I mean, it is what it is. You know, you have good days, you have bad days. You have racing luck, you don't have it. We didn't have racing luck that day. But just to answer the question, am I still pissed? Yes. Is there going to be a time anytime soon where I'm not pissed? No. And I will say this. It'll never not be funny, but it is kind of funny to me that he thinks it's so funny. I can tip my hat to that, I guess, at this point. Can't carry that around forever, right? 1-800-636-8686. You see, there are good beefs in horse racing. Another reason why you should check it out. There are good beefs. It's a good sport. I love it. And especially down here in San Diego, Del Mar Racetrack is amazing. If you ever have the chance to come to a race at Del Mar, do it. It's an amazing track. Amazing track. Great experience. Let's quickly go to Barstow. Mark in Barstow. Good to have you, Mark. How are you?
So how are you doing?
Good,
hey,
bud.
Real quick, these Hall of Fame voters are stupid. Seriously. If the crime dog is not a Hall of Famer, then who the heck is? That guy hit 35 or 40 bombs every year. Never associated with PEDs. I mean, the guy had his own instruction video, for Pete's sake. And if the curse-breaking bloody sock is in the Hall of Fame and Curt Schilling is not, what the heck, Rome? More swimming pool technician nation taking a lot of vacation because we get a lot of vacation. Now I'm done.
You got it. Nice to have you on. I love the crime dog. If you're an old-school listener of this program, you know that Fred McGriff used to come on the show a lot. I love Fred McGriff. You know the whole argument, though, that if you have to make an argument for a guy, they shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. I'm not saying he shouldn't. I'm just saying if you have to make the argument, then they probably don't belong. You know, the whole argument also being it's the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Very Good. But he is right there. He is right there. Let's see. The ATP. Ask the pros. Lauren from Long Island asks, Jim, how hard is it to take your show on the road? We aren't seeing it on TV, so can you set the scene for what's going on down at Torrey? Is taking the jungle on the road something we're going to see more of in the future? Lauren from Long Island. That is a great question. That's a really good question. In terms of what's it like to take the show on the road, it's awesome. It's great to be on the road. It's great to get out there and press the flesh. It's great to see people, you know, have access to interviews with people that ordinarily you would only talk to over satellite or over the phones. Like Rex Hoggard. I mean, I just said that. He's been coming on this show for years. He was actually one of the famous Rexes in the Rex streak, and we'd never even actually met before in person. And to get a chance to sit down with Pat Perez, to sit down with Charlie Hoffman, to sit down with Tony Finau, to do that in person, it's awesome. You know, there are other alternatives and variables with taking the thing on the show or taking the show on the road, but the positives far outweigh the negatives, and there are almost no negatives at all. In terms of will you see more of it, you kind of answered your own question. The reason we don't do it more is because I have a TV show, a TV component. The TV aspect of it does not travel as well. We're not on TV today. The reason we're not on TV today is because we're doing this remote. So the reason I don't do more of this is because I've always had a TV show. I've always had two shows every single day. And the TV show does not travel. The TV show is not as mobile as the radio show is. But if you want to know if I'm taking it on the road, next week I'll be in Atlanta all week long. Huge call today, brought to you by Masterbuilt. Are you getting ready for the big game? For the best grub, make sure you have a Masterbuilt smoker. From propane to electric, analog to digital, whether you're a beginner or a pro, you will love how simple it is to master the craft of smoking. It's available at Home Depot, Lowe's, Sam's Club, Academy, Bass Pro, and Cabela's. For more information, recipes, and tips, go to Masterbuilt.com, Masterbuilt.com. All right, I want to thank everybody who made this thing happen. Great, great jungle day. I want to thank the XR4TI for muscling up on the road. We had Tony Finau, we had Charlie Hoffman, Pat Perez, Rex Hoggard, and Mike Smith. Thanks to the XR4TI back in our studios. Thank you for listening, clones. Have a great day. I will be right back in my house tomorrow. See you then. We're out.